This week is Parashas Nitzavim Vayelech, two parashiyos, a double header, two parashiyos, Nitzavim Vayelech. It's the last Shabbos of the year. Isn't that sad? Well, not for everyone. So last, and it's been a rough year, that's for sure. And a lot to think about. Quite, it's overwhelming. Nitzavim Vayelech, it's the last Shabbos of the year. It's a sad parsha. It's always a sad parsha. Nitzavim Vayelech is always the last parsha of the year. It's the last, the last of the Shiva de Nechemta. It's the end of Tisha B'Av. After Tisha B'Av, there are seven Shabbosos that we read words of Nechama from Yeshaya to comfort us. It's like we're sitting Shiva. We are sitting Shiva for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. You sit Shiva for 7 days. We have seven Shabbosos. Each one of the Shabbosos is one of the 7 days of Shiva. And it's the last of the Shiva de Nechemta. Maybe we'll talk about that if we have some time at the end. And the parasha is all about transition. Moshe Rabbeinu is acknowledging that today is his last day on this earth. And he appoints his successor. He appoints his successor, Yehoshua, to succeed him. He introduces Yehoshua to Klal Yisrael. He introduces Klal Yisrael to Yehoshua. You should get to know each other. This is a shidduch between a leader and a nation. He prepares him, he gives him instructions. He issues his harshest warning yet to Klal Yisrael. He predicts what's going to happen. It's a very emotional parsha, reflecting back on 40 years and looking ahead to the future. And it certainly resonates with us. Come to the end of the year, the last Shabbos of the year, when we reflect back what happened this year, the incredible tragedy of death, so many of Achenu B'nai Yisrael, there's probably not a person here that doesn't know someone personally who died, and certainly people here know of dozens of people who lost relatives, parents, siblings, even children, Rachman Litzlan, and many people here themselves were ill, were sick. And as many people who were sick, they'll tell you it was a different type of sickness. Person, you hear a lot from people who were sick, they will say they saw the Malach HaMavis in front of them. And here we are at the moment of transition, looking to the future. There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustration, a lot of pain. But yet, there's also a lot of optimism, a lot of hope. And Moshe Rabbeinu has a message for every emotion, every person, every situation. In his moment of transition, his departure, just as he presents a message for Klal Yisrael then, his message is timeless for all generations. So let's try to see some of the messages. First thing I want to take note of is the first Rashi of Parshas Vayelech and the first Rashi in Parshas Nitzavim. By the way around, first Rashi in Parshas Nitzavim and the first Rashi in Parshas Vayelech. They both basically say the same thing, but they're not exactly the same. In Parshas Nitzavim, it begins with the words, Atem, you are Nitzavim, are standing here today. Melameh, this teaches us, Shekinsam Moshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This pasuk teaches us that Moshe Rabbeinu, he gathered the Jewish people for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Biyoim Moisai, on the day of his death. Lehachnisam Bibris, in order to bring them into a covenant. Let's jump to the first Rashi in Parshas Vayelech. Turn 2-3 pages. Vayelech Moshe. Anoichi Hayoim, I am today, Rashi, Hayoim today, Molu Yomai Ushinoisai. My days are up. My days are complete. Biyoim ze meladiti, biyoim ze omos. And on this day I will die. If we put together the Rashi in the beginning of Parashas Nitzavim and the Rashi in the beginning of Parashas Vayelech, it appears to be 3/4 days. The word day is mentioned 4 times. In Parashas Nitzavim, the word Yom is mentioned 1 time. Melamed Shekinsa Moshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Biyoim. Okay, number one, Biyoim Moshe. Lachnitz Nebevris. And here, the word Yom is mentioned 3 times in Rashi. Hayoim, number one, Molu Yomai Ushnoisai. Biyoim Ze, on this day, Neiladiti. Biyoim Ze, Omos. And on this day, I will die. He says the word Yom 3 times. Molu Yomai Ushnoisai, which I really want to really break down into 2 days, because I think the second 2 and 3 is really explaining what it means. Biyoim, the first word biyoim, yom molo yomai, my days are full. What does it mean my days are full? On this day I was born, and on this day I will die. Parashas Nitzavim, hichnisa Moshe biyoim Moshe. What's the difference between the way the word yom is used in Parashas Nitzavim versus the way Yom is used in Parashas Vayelech? The difference is in Parashas Nitzavim, it's not personal. Moshe is objective. The day, this is the day. It's nothing to do with me. It happens to be that I'm going to die. It's a calendar day, which is important because I'm leaving. It's the Yom Moshe, it's my day of departure. It's the day. On this day, on this calendar day, everyone should come together, so you should all enter into a bris. Rashi in Vayelech is different. Rashi is, it's personal. Hayoim, on this day, I the person was born, and I the person will die. The difference between the way the word Yoim is being expressed in Nitzav Vayelech is very different. Rosh Hashanah is called Yoim Teruah. Hafech b'hafech b'dekulubah, this is the last parasha that we read before Rosh Hashanah. It's the Shabbos of the year. It's our entry into the new year. Rosh Hashanah is not called Chag HaTeruah. It's not called Chag Hashanah. It's not called, it's unique in all of the festivals. It's the only Yom Tov that is called a Yom. Yom Teruah. There's something about the day. And when we read the word, these two parashios, it's teaching us about 3 dimensions in a day. On the one hand, the day, it's a day for the world. Klal Yisrael has to enter into a bris before they go into Eretz Yisrael. When will they enter into that bris? The day that Moshe Rabbeinu dies. It's a calendar day. We're using Moshe Rabbeinu's death as just a way to define a day in the calendar. It's not personal. On the other hand, a Yom is a very personal event. It's this day I came into this world. And on this day, I personally, I'm leaving the world. That is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is called a Yom Teruah. Rosh Hashanah, we mentioned yesterday that it says the word Teruah 3 times in the Torah. 2 in reference to Rosh Hashanah, 1 in reference to Yom HaKippurim, and we make a Gezeirah Shavah between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah to import the word Teruah that's said by Yom Kippur to Rosh Hashanah. And thus, when it says in the Pasuk, Yom Teruah, blow 3 sounds. And we discussed this yesterday. The Teruah is essentially 3 sounds. Either it's 2-2-2, or it's 2-2-2, 2-2-2, 2-2-2. And that itself is, maybe really means 2-2-2. And then we have all the various combinations. But the essence of the blowing of the shofar are three sounds. Three sounds. On when do we blow the three sounds? On the day of Yom Teruah. And Rashi, in the beginning of Nitzavim and the beginning of Vayelech, is presenting for us three dimensions in the meaning of a day. The whole world is going through this day. It's a day on the calendar. It's a day for the klal. It's also a day for the individual. But the individual, in the individual, there are two different elements in the day. It's a day of departure. Rosh Hashanah is a transition day from the previous year. It's obviously the beginning of the new year. But what do you do on the beginning of the new year? It's the Yom Hadin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging us based upon our performance the past year. We are taking leave. It's the Yom Hadin. The judgment is not just not at a newborn baby. There's no judgment. He didn't do anything to judge him. On this day, we are reflecting our actions are being presented for the last year. We are departing from the past. Personal departure. But mitzad sheni, it's optimism. We're coming into, we're entering into a new era. We're entering. Moshe's words again are, Hayoyim molu yomai ushnoisai. B'yoyim ze noiladiti uv'yoyim ze omos. It's personal for me. It's the day of my departure and it's the day of my entry. I came into this world and I am departing from this world. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he says in Parashas Nitzavim, nothing to do with me. Klal Yisrael has to be gathered on this calendar day. The whole Klal Yisrael comes together. We're being gathered together. We're being nichnas lebris into a covenant with the Kodesh Baruch Hu to acknowledge Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, v'hoya Hashem lemelech al kol haaretz, b'yoyim ahu. That's the message. The message is, we come into Rosh Hashanah, we draw from Moshe Rabbeinu's usage of the word Yom. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem, with, together with, Vayom aleihem ben mea v'eshem shana anochi hayom, moloi shonai yomai ushnoisai. We come into Rosh Hashanah, we have to appreciate, we come in as a nation. As a nation. Lachnisam bevris. Mitzad sheni, we have to acknowledge it's a day of a personal departure from the past year. A day of din v'cheshbon. What could we have done better? What did we do wrong? And what did we do right? And mitzad shlishi, the chut ha-meshulash, it's what's going to be next year. What are your plans? Where are you going? What are your goals? What's life all about? What's the purpose of all this? You're entering into a new world. It's a new hachnasa. You blow three sounds. Two, two, two. Yom Teruah. One sound, whether it's the two, or it's all the various combinations that we discussed yesterday that come out of the three references of Teruah. All three of these elements must come together, or are when we enter into the Yom Hadin, we're all in it together. Each individual has to take responsibility for his past. And each individual has to take responsibility and be committed to a fruitful, purposeful future going forward. Let's go to another idea. I want to show you through an idea. This is pure drush. Pure drush. We every year we talk about this in halacha, But this year I want to talk about it in Machshava. One of the beautiful psukim of this week's parasha is the pasuk, is the words, pasuk gimel in parashas Nitzavim Perek Chav Tes is the pasuk, v'shav Hashem Elokecha esh shavuscha v'richanecha. Hashem will return your captivity, your captives, the individuals, the members of Klal Yisrael who have been exiled. And then the pasuk repeats, v'shav, he will return, v'kibetzcha, he will gather you, mikol ho'anim, all of the nations, asher hefitzcha Hashem elokecha shama, which Hashem has dispersed you. It says here the word shav twice. Rashi is disturbed with the grammar of the word shav. Rashi asks that it's not grammatically correct. It should say in the pasuk v'heshiv, Hashem will cause you. Hashem doesn't physically. The shav either could mean Rashi going to explain the two past other two why it says v'shav, but the context from the context of the pasuk, the idea that's being presented is you're in Golos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring about. He's going to bring about your redemption. He will cause hifil. He will cause things to happen in this world that will bring about your redemption. And if that is what the context, that is what the theme, the gist of the pasuk means to say, it would have been grammatically correct for the pasuk to be written with the word v'heshiv. Hashem will bring about a restoration of your galus, of your captives, of your captivity, the Jews who find themselves in exile. Hashem will bring about v'heshiv Hashem Elokecha eshevuscha, that your captives be returned to the Holy Land, and the nation be restored to its exalted position of leadership and dominance, sovereignty in this world. But it doesn't say that. It says v'shav. And this bothers Rashi to no end. And Rashi's words are, Hoyo loy lichtoy v'heshiv eshevuscha. So what's the answer? Rashi answers, Rabbi Seinu, our teachers, lomadnu mikan. From here they learn the following awesome lesson. Kaviyochol, when we are in exile, Hashem is in exile together with us. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Shemayim, he disappeared and just left us all alone to fend for ourselves. When we go into exile, he goes into exile. Imoy anoichi b'tzara, I'm with you. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeems us, in essence, he's redeeming himself. V'shav thus means, I will return. Because I am with you. Imoy anochi b'tzara. Kaviyochol shashchina shiruya im Yisrael b'tzaras golusam. In the pain of their exile. Uchesh nigolin, and when the Jewish people are redeemed, hichtiv ge'ula l'atzmai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he describes it as if he himself is being redeemed. Shuhu yoshuv imohem. That's pshat number one. Pshat number two. The oid yesh loimar. Another answer. Shegodol yom kibbutz goliyos uvikoshi. The difficulty, the greatness and the difficulty of geula is so awesome, is so hard. Ki'ilu hu atzmoy tzorich lihiyois oiches biyodav mamosh ish ish mimekoymoy. Incredible thing what it says here. V'shav means I myself will pluck each single individual from their place to pick you up and bring you where you're meant to be. If the pasuk would have been written v'heshiv, I'll cause it to happen. Causative. Hifil. I'll cause, there'll be inspiration. You listen to an inspirational speaker, and you know what? I'm making aliyah. Hashem says that it's not going to work that way. It's not going to happen because all of the inspirational speakers are not going to be able to shake you up. It's going to be as if I myself, with my own hand, am going to have to grab you by your payas and pull you and bring you to Eretz. Veshav, direct, is going to be a direct geula. That's the second interpretation. And the truth is, I want to suggest, is that's why it says in the Pasuk the word Veshav twice. It says in the Pasuk, Veshav Hashem Elokech Eshavuscha V'richamecha. That's Rashi's first pshat. I myself will return together with you and have compassion upon you. And then the second Veshav means, and not only will I myself return, when I myself return, I'm going to hold on to each one of you. I'm going to pluck each one of you out of your place and pull you with me when I return. Veshav v'kibetzcha mikol ho'amim masher hefitzcha Hashem Elokech HaShama. Rashi says there are two different possibilities to answer why he doesn't say v'heshiv. He gives two possibilities. L'chor Rashi means the first shav means his first interpretation. I myself will return because imo yinochi b'tzara. And the second v'shav means, and when I return, I'm going to take with me every single one of you by the hand. I'm not going to leave it to inspiration. I'm going to physically take you by my hand and take you with me. Okay, that's Rashi. Good question. Two Rashi, two good answers. A little bit of a drush we're applying. We're saying the two answers of Rashi, each one zelu mazel, apply to the double usage of the word v'shav. Okay, now we come to the next stage. In the Tekiyos, it's very, very sad. Very sad. That in almost all of the new machzor, we always mention this every single year, they deleted two words from the Tekiyos. We know that before we blow shofar, I mean, there's a makri. Everyone knows the makri. Someone who calls out the Tekiyos. Tekiyah. And then the Baal Tokeh blows. Shvarim Teruah. The makri. The makri occupies a very special place in halacha. It's a chiddush. Why is it not a hefsek? After you make the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kedem Melechol Masher, Kedushon, B'mitzvah, Yisrael, L'shmoya, Kol Shoyf, Mekah Shachiyanu, hefsek. Tekiyah, why is it not called a hefsek? No, it's not a hefsek. You want to make sure that the Baal doesn't make a mistake. He's going to make a mistake in the first tekiyah. Why do you have to announce the first tekiyah? Even the first tekiyah, we're afraid he'll make a mistake. All right, that's a sugya in and of itself. And in every single machzer, it shows you the words tekiyah, shvarim teruah tekiyah, tekiyah, shvarim teruah tekiyah. It goes through the whole thing. Goes through the 30 koilas, three sets. That we triple tekiyah, shvarim teruah tekiyah. And then we do a tekiyah, shvarim tekiyah three times. And then we do a tekiyah, teruah tekiyah three times. And you'll find those words in every single machzer in the entire world. B'li yoytzei min haklal. But there are two words that virtually all of the new machzerim have left out, including the art scroll, machzer, which appear in all of the old machzerim. The old machzor, and you have to take an old machzor, go up to your attic, take out, blow off the dust of an old machzor, and open up to the tekiyos before Musaf, called tekiyos de miyoshev, and you will see that there are two words that disappeared from all the new editions. And they are the words shin beis. Where do a shin beis appear? In between the first 10 and the second 10. And then in between the second 10 and the third 10. Okay, if someone has an old machzor, you want to show it on the screen. You can show it on the screen. If you're lazy, you have an old machzor. They link to an old machzor. It says there, shin beis. Good, so open up right before the, see if you'll see the word. After you finish the first 10 koilos, there's the letter shin beis. The problem is, nobody knows what that means. Why in the old machzorim does it say shin beis? After you finish the first 10 koilos. And then why again does it say shin beis after you finish the second 10 koilos? And how come it doesn't say shin beis after you finish the third koilos? Somehow that shin beis disappeared. Because seemingly most people don't even know what's going on. What is that all about? And indeed, there are some very interesting explanations as to what it means, which now is not the time. To what it means, I'll just tell you simply what it means is, it means it's an instruction, the simplest pshat. It's an instruction for the Baal Tekiya to sit down. Sit down and rest for a couple of minutes and allow the tzibur to be misvade, to cry, and to confess their sins. Shave. Take a break. Take a break. Baal Tekiya, you just blew 10 koilas. Tekiya shvarim to a tekiya, tekiya shvarim to a tekiya, tekiya shvarim to a tekiya. And then the Makri calls out, shave. Sit down. Relax. Take a break. Why do we want to give the Baal Tekiya a break? Because the tzibur is now going to recite a Yehi Ratzon, or will just stand there in their place and sob, or reflect, or say Tehillim, or Davin. People need time now, a private moment, a moment of silence, to reflect upon what is happening. We are in the middle of the Yom HaDin. We are in the middle of the moment of Din. When you blow shofar, it's the moment of judgment. People need to collect their thoughts. They need to calm down. Shave, sit down. You have it? Okay, try. You see it? Can you point? You see the word? You see Rabbi Leizer has it in the old Machzor. Shave. You see that? Shave. And the next time, Gval, shave. You see the word shin based right after the first set. And then it says it again, right? Look at the second time. Rabbi Leizer, a second time, but not a third time. You see a second time? You see a second time after the second 30 koilos, but not the third time. Okay, so you look at old Machzor. That word disappeared. Okay, I told you just one pshat. I told you one pshat why it says shave. There are many mystical reasons why it says shave. So I want to tell you now a drush. Drush, not pshat. Not you're not going to see this in any of the svarim that tell you the pshat. And that's just because Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech is read every year before Rosh Hashanah. We at least lay Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. Most of the time we lay in Vayelech also together, but sometimes we only lay Parshas Nitzavim. And when we lay, therefore when we're late, we're blowing shofar, and the entire Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech is a hachana, is a preparation for the Yom HaDin. Atem Nitzavim HaYom Kulchem L'fnei Hashem Elokeichem. That's exactly what every single darshan from the time of Maisa Bereishis until Mashiach will tell you, that the words Atem Nitzavim HaYom Kulchem L'fnei Hashem Elokeichem is an explicit pasuk describing the Yom HaDin. You're all standing here before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this day of judgment. And as you read the psukim, just keep on going down the psukim, you come to the words in the parashat Nitzavim, Vishav Hashem Elokecha Eshevuscha. Vishav Vikibetzcha Mikolo Amashafitzcha Hashem Elokecha Shama. So I want to suggest to you that in addition to the pshat of saying to the Baal Tekiya, sit down and take a break while all of us sob and cry and reflect upon the Emes Hadin, the word Vishav is the Makri's instructions, not to the Baal Tekiya, but to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Just like the Makri, he gives instructions, commands. He's the director. He's the president. He is the supervisor. The Makri, you can give all these really nice names. You can go every title in the book. Go to the dictionary and open up and look for all the various titles. All these titles you can apply to the Makri. He is the instructor. And he says, Tekiya, Shvarim to a Tekiya, after he instructs the Makri, the Baal Tekiya, what to blow, he directs his attention to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he gives instructions to Hashem. And he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, do what you said you would do. Vishav, you Hashem now should fulfill Vishav Hashem Elokecha Eshevusicha. One of the reasons why we blow shofar, there are 10 reasons, Gimar Afsad, you're going for the blowing of the shofar, is it's a zecher l'shofar shel Moshiach. We just blew the shofar shel Moshiach. And therefore I, in the power of being the makri, the power of being the instructor, the director of this service, I now turn my attention not to the tzibur, not to the Baal Tokeah, but to you, Hashem. And I command you with chutzpah, b'ikvasu d'mashicha, chutzpah yaske. I command you, Hashem, v'shav. The time has come for you to return. Imai anoichi b'tzara. You, Hashem, have to return together with us. And after you blow the second set of koilos, we proceed to the second, v'shav. And when you return, Hashem, don't forget to take by the hand every single member of Klal Yisrael, pluck them out of their place and take them with you and restore them to their exalted mokoyim in Eretz Yisrael with honor and dignity.
Drush. It's a nice drush, Rabbi, but most of the kavanas that we say is for the Baal Tekeah himself, but the Baal Makri doesn't have to have too many kavanas, Baal Pipash. It's just to say the...
I told you this is a drush. Right, I told you this is a drush. I gave that disclaimer when we started. And the other thing that you said, okay. The other thing you said is not, with all respect, it's not necessarily correct that the makri has no kavana. That's a very big chiddush. There are makris out there that have much more kavana than the Baal Tokeah. And some makris, they're longer. I know a makri that his when he calls out tekiah, his calling out of the tekiah is longer than the tekiah itself. Tekiah shvarim tuduah. Okay, I know makris that are very, very, and the people who blow, they're very frustrated because they're in a momentum. They want to go fast. And when the makri schleps tekiah gedolah, they're very frustrated because they want to move. They want to move, and he's holding them back. The makri is a very mystical job to be the makri.
And what Altakea knows that once he has it
in his position, you want to go fast.
You want to lose that position.
Exactly. Right. But the halacha is there's something called the makri. That's the halacha, and the makri has a role, and the Baltakea has a role, and in the old machzorim, the halacha is our minhag is the makri calls out every single tekiah, even the first tekiah, which is in the world of halacha a shocking chiddush, because between the bracha and the first tekiah, you would assume it would be forbidden to be mafsik between the bracha and the first tekiah. And the only reason why al derech pshat, why there's a makri, is to make sure that the Baal Tekeah does not make a mistake. The Baal Tekeah is not going to make a mistake the first Tekeah. The first Tekeah is Tekeah. He's not going to make a mistake. So why then is the makri calling out Tekeah? Obviously, there's a lot more going on by calling out the Tekeah in advance and just making sure the Baal Tekeah doesn't make a mistake. And then when you come to the end of a set in all of the old machzorim, it says shin beis. What is that? Is that a silent instruction? Is that an instruction of the makri? The makri is supposed to call out? Is that an instruction for the tzibur? What is that? Nobody really knows. Somehow, it's a big mystery what that those two letters are doing there in all the old machzorim. It's such a big mystery that it's shocking that all of the new machzorim decided to eliminate it. just because you don't know what it means, who told you to eliminate it? It's a shocking thing. They took it's really shocking. They took it out. And then today, due to technology, we're able to go and uncover, open up books that we never had before, we never knew before. And some of the old Svarim give some incredible insight into what those words mean. And I told you one of many basic interpretations of what it's there. It was an instruction. It was something that was called out by the Makri. The Makri, he called out Shev, which means sit or shave, sit. And he was speaking to who? Who was he speaking to? He was speaking to the Baal Tokeya. He told him, sit down or wait. Why do we want him to wait? Because the Tzibur is now sobbing. They're crying. They're frightened. It's the moment of din. They need time to collect themselves. They need time to think. They need time to say Tehillim. They need time to pray. Sit down and wait. We need to put our thoughts together. That's one of many perushim. I am just here as a disclaimer, presenting you a derush. And in my derush, I'm saying that when the Makri is saying shave, he's not speaking to the Baal Tokeya. He's speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's speaking with chutzpah. Chutzpah yaske. Chutzpah de kedusha. And he's saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, we just blew the shofar shel Mashiach. And therefore, it's your duty now, v'shav. V'shav Hashem Elokecha, because you're also in Golas. Imoi Inochi B'tzara, Rashi, in this week's parasha, you also have to return. V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shavuscha V'rechamecha. And then when the Machri calls out a second time, v'shav, he's going into the next half of the pasuk with the second pshat in Rashi. When you do return, take us with you. Every single person, take them by the hand. Vishav v'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim asher afitzcha Hashem lokecha sham. Okay, something to think about. Let's go to... Yes.
I have a moxler here.
Yes.
A newish... I mean, the print is new. It's a new
moxler. Yeah.
It says shave.
Shave, they restored it. They did restore it. The day will come, you will see the art school will restore it also. I'm willing to bet art school will eventually put it back in. Because this became very popular now. Everyone's talking about this. What happened? People years ago never heard of this. You would say this, I remember the first time I came across this, I said, what? What are you talking about? You're telling me nonsense. Now, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of Torah out there, a lot of Sfarim. It's not nonsense. Everyone's talking about this. Everyone has rediscovered, and everyone's trying now to figure out what did it originally mean. Was it a silent instruction? Was it something which the Makri called out? Who was he speaking to? Was he speaking to the Baal Tokeya? Was he speaking to the Tzibur? Was he speaking to himself? Is he talking to the Satan? Okay, what does those letters mean? Are those letters a word? Is it a Rashi Tavis? Yeah?
The Targum there on the Shav, the first word he says, be Yosef. And the second one he says, be Suf.
Ah, okay. That? I don't know. I don't know the answer. Rashi gives two perushim. So, I mean, I try to say a drush that Rashi is saying two different meanings of the word.
Yeah.
So the Targum also is alluding to something different between the two. Enechanami, I don't know the answer. Okay, let's go.
By the way, I wrote another perush, but I don't want to take your time. Another perush, why it says the shav and it says twice. Rama said the first one, the shav Hashem Elokecha kevayachol. If I dare to do this, chutzpah yasgeh, like to say, Hashem will do tshuva. How do you do tshuva? You do the opposite of what you did before. Hashem ve'shav Hashem elokecha et shvutcha, who zarak otanu, he threw us out throughout the world.
You have to tshuva, bring us back in. Very nice.
And what's the Rechamecha? Be'afu v'cheima v'ketzef gadol. He was angry. What's the opposite of anger? Rachamim. V'shav Hashem Elokecha et shvutcha v'richamecha. He will have rachamim on us. That is tshuva.
Very nice.
Teach us how to do tshuva, to do the opposite of whatever we do.
Very nice. Very, very. That's very beautiful. I like that. I like that very, very much. That's very, very good.
It's like brings us back. Like a father threw his children away. It brings them back.
Now you have to bring us back. Very, very nice. Very nice. Okay, then let me. I want to share. We're running out of time, so let me share with you another short var relating to Rosh Hashanah. We all know we have a minug. We have a minhag of Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, not to blow shofar the day before Rosh Hashanah. The entire Chodesh Elul, we blow shofar to arouse us. And Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow shofar. We don't blow shofar, why not? So the simple reason is because L'arvev HaSatan. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. To confuse the Satan, very mystical. To confuse the sun, if we're blowing consistently every single day, then all of a sudden one day we stop blowing shofar, so the sun thinks, oh, they're done, I can pack up, the inspector is going to go home, and then the next day, Rosh Hashanah, when the cat's away, the mice will play, right? We're trying to play games. You know the old vart, what the sun doesn't remember what happened last year.
He
doesn't remember what happened last year, the Satan. So everyone knows the popular answer is every year there's a new Satan. They don't last the year on the job. So in the Hanami, we can play the game every year because every year there's a new Satan. Okay, that's it.
Unless he has Alzheimer's.
Okay, Okay, that's the Pashup Shakdil Arvev HaSatan. Those who are not into mystical things will tell you a much simpler interpretation is that you shouldn't get used to it. You want to change, a change in pace. If we're blowing shofar already for 30 days, if we're going to blow shofar one more day, there'll be 30 days. You don't want to do that. It's like you say, Mashav Ruch HaMored HaGeshem. If you do it for 30 days, then if you don't remember, you could assume you did it already. Once you do something for 30 days, it's already mitzvahs anoshim milimuda. It's just second nature. It's lip service. It doesn't have any meaning. So we don't want to go on a streak of 30 days because we want Rosh Hashanah to be a real wake-up call. So we have to stop a day early so it should be fresh the day before. And in fact, there are minhagim that don't blow shofar for 3 days. You don't see that today. I don't know. I haven't been around. But what I've read is that there are communities, at least in the olden days, before the global melting pot came into existence, where they did not blow shofar the last 3 days before Rosh Hashanah in order to break the streak. It should be fresh. To be fresh. Now I want to give you, I want to give you another a drush. I'm telling you, disclaimer, a drush. And as a hakdama to the drush, I want to give an example to bring out the point. On one of the days during the year that you're not allowed to fast, there are very few days during the year where it is categorically forbidden to fast. Not Shabbos and not Yom Tov. Believe it or not, you can fast on Shabbos. If you really want to, and for enough money, a rabbi will let you fast on Shabbos. You just have to know who to ask. I have to know how to manipulate the question with the right words. If you really want to fast on Shabbos, you can find a rabbi that will let you, give you a green light to fast on Shabbos. And even Yom Tov.
It says, time is halal.
Exactly. Even on Yom Tov, you'll even find a rabbi that will give you permission to fast on Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah, you'll find people that will say you can fast if you want the whole day, even the whole day Rosh Hashanah. Unbelievable, right? But there is a time when you're not allowed to fast. There are a few days, and one of those few days you're not allowed to fast is Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, it is osur to fast. Under no condition. V'nisim es nafsho seichem b'tisho l'chodesh bo'erev. It's a drosha. Not for now to go through the drosha. You're not allowed to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. this osur. What's that all about? Why? So let me tell you a drush. It's not my drush. It's a very popular drush, and it's really based on Chazal. In a second. And that is because Erev Yom Kippur, you're supposed to have a su'uda. The su'uda that you're supposed to have on Yom Kippur itself. In other words, be'etzem, me'ikar hadin, Yom Kippur is the ultimate Yom Tov, the ultimate. Hashem forgives you, such a concept? This is a non-earthly concept, that a Ribbono Shel Olam can forgive you for your sins. Doesn't exist such a thing. Hashem's going to forgive you for your sins? It's a Yom Tov. A Yom Tov, you have to have a meal, a suda, you have to have a celebration. But you can't, because on Yom Kippur, we have to fast. So the su'uda that we're really supposed to have on Yom Kippur, we just push back one day. So Yom Kippur, there's a very big inyan to eat. There's a very big inyan to eat, a very beautiful su'uda. It's the su'uda that you were really supposed to have on Yom Kippur, push back one day. This week's parasha, I'm winding down, I'm not going to keep you long. This week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Ben Mea V'yeshem Shon Anochi Hayoim Lo Uchal Oid Lo Tseis V'lovo. Rashi, Yochol Awe Thing She Toshas Koichoi, Talmud Lomar Lo Chos Einiv Lo Nos Leichoi. El Ma Lo Uchal. What does it mean, Moshe, I can't go anymore? Eini Rishai, I'm not permitted. I'm not permitted anymore. I'm not permitted to go out before. That's not the Rashi I wanted, I'm sorry. The Rashi I wanted was when Moshe Rabbeinu, he gathered the people. Oh, give me 1 second. I lost the Rashi. One moment. Hakel Elias, I'm Mishav Hakel. Gather to me the people back in, I'm sorry, it's back in the previous parasha. One moment, please. Rashi that says Hakel Eli Esa'am Hazeh, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not gather them by blowing the shofar. Moshe normally gathers the people by blowing the shofar. For some reason, I'm having a hard time finding the Rashi. Give me one moment. Shnasa Shmita, Terazois Hanoshim, Shirazois. Here it is, Pasuk Chavches. Okay, Pasuk Chavches. Okay, it's in Parashas Vayelech. Very important Rashi. In Parashas Vayelech, in Pasuk Chavches, Perik Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chavches, Hakhilu Eli, gather to me. Pasuk says, gather to me, es kol ziknei shifteichem v'shadreichem v'adabra b'yozneim eis chadvar mo'il v'yidubam es tashram v'yesoretz. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, gather them to me. I'm about to say to you, Hazinu, Parash Hazinu, end of this week, end of Parash Vayelech. Gather. When Moshe Rabbeinu in the past gathered Klal Yisrael, how did he do so? He blew the shofar. Moshe Rabbeinu had trumpets. Trumpets, there were trumpets, and there was a shofar. He blew an instrument. An instrument, trumpets. So ordinarily, when Moshe Rabbeinu would gather Klal Yisrael, the signal of his authority to gather everyone together was blowing his personal trumpets. It's a pasuk in Parshas, what parish is that? I forgot which parish it is. The Matos maybe? The parish, I'm making a mistake, Chukas? I don't remember. Parish of the trumpets, right? Bahaloyscha. Rashi, Hakilu, like Rashi writes, Veloy Soku Oiso Hayom de Chatzoitrois. That day Moshe did not blow, Toku, did not blow with his trumpets. Lahakila Sakahol, Lefish Nema Aseilucha. Oh, but Hashem told him, make for your trumpets and blow and gather. You know why? Because today I'm dying. And because today is the day of my death, I have no authority in this world anymore. The low hishlit, and what about Yehoshua? No, he also cannot use the trumpets. The low hishlit Yehoshua lehem, the afachai of nignus ukadim yon moiso, lekayim asher nemar, the ein shiltoin biyoim hamoves. You have no authority on the day of death. Moshe Rabbeinu on this day did not blow the trumpet because the blowing of the shofar to gather Klal Yisrael is an expression of his authority, my power. On Rosh Hashanah, if there's one day a year that we should not be blowing shofar, it should be Rosh Hashanah. The irony of Rosh Hashanah, it's Pilei Ploim, it's a day of Yom Teruah. Excuse me? Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin. Mi Yichyeh? Umi Yomos, Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Mesim Apsuchim. It's the one day of the year where we acknowledge the Ein Shiltoin. We have zero authority in this world. Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Li Olam Voed. When the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died, there was no blowing of the shofar. The day that Yehoshua entered, took over Klal Yisrael, there was no blowing. The day of transition between Moshe and Yehoshua, there was no blowing of the shofar on that day of transition. Because since it's a day of transition, Ein Shiltoin B'Yom HaMoves. Rosh Hashanah is that day of transition, and if there's one day a year that you should not be blowing shofar, it's Rosh Hashanah. And yet, lo and behold, the Ribbono Shalom tells us, I want you to break all the rules. I want you to Yom Teruah Yihyeh Lochem. I want you to blow. And the Pshuta Shal Mikra is, we're blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah to declare Hashem as the Melech. It's Hashem shofar. There are many mahalchim in why you blow shofar. But a one mahalach is, Hashem says, Yom Teruah Yihyeh Lochem. I want to give you shiltoin. I want to give you something. I want to break every rule in this world. On the day that you would expect to connect with the principle, Ein Shiltoin B'Yom HaMoves, because today is a day where our lives are on the line. L'chaim. I want to give you on this day shiltoin. I want to give you a gift. I want you to blow. I want to break the rules because I just want to show how much I love you. I want it to be for you, Yom Teruah Yihyeh Lochem, blow the shofar. But we're very humble. We're very humble. Ribbono Shalom, if you want us to blow, we're going to blow. But out of respect to acknowledge that we really should not be blowing, we're not going to blow. But when are we not going to blow? To show that we don't want to blow. To show Ein Shiltoin B'Yom HaMoves. We can't do it on Rosh Hashanah. Well, just like on Yom Kippur, you can't have a meal because that's the whole purpose of the day is to eat. But you really have to have a meal. So have the meal that you're supposed to have on Yom Kippur. Have it Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow. The not blowing of Erev Rosh Hashanah is the mitzvahs hayoyim of Rosh Hashanah. The mitzvahs hayoyim from our perspective is on Rosh Hashanah, the Ein Shiltoin B'Yom HaMoves. You don't blow shofar. Moshe Rabbeinu did not blow the shofar on the day of his day. Yom Molu Yomai V'Shnoisai. So we also don't blow, but we have to. So we won't blow Erev Rosh Hashanah. The mitzvahs hayoyim of Erev Rosh Hashanah is not to blow. Not in addition to the pshat. The pshat la'arvev ha'satan. In order not to get too used to it. But it's much deeper. That's what we learned from this week's parasha. Rabbi, time is up. I want to wish you with the words of the Haftorah. We lay in this week the Shiva de Nechemta, such a beautiful Haftorah. This Haftorah was read when there was a chosan. It used to be the minog. Whenever there was an ufruf, or a Shabbos chosan, a Shabbat chatan, they lay in addition to the regular Haftorah, they would lay in the beginning of this week's Haftorah. Sois osis b'Hashem Togel nafshi belokai ki il bishani big de yesha mi il stogi yotoni kechoson yichahein pe'er v'chacholo te'adeh cheileho. And it goes on to say, Ken yosis salaych elokayach kim sois chosan al kala. End of the Haftarah, we read about what's going to be this year. The words of the Haftarah are Chaste Hashem Askir. We're going into a new year, the last Shabbos. It was such a painful year. But let's not also forget, the Nav reminds us, don't forget all of the good things that happened this year. There was enormous chesed. Klal Yisrael rallied. The amount of chesed that was done this year is equal to chesed that took place over decades. That's how much chesed. Once one of the rabbanim speaking, he said, there's never been a year where so many people of my kehila and other kehilas came and begged me for money. They don't have what to eat. They're poor. They lost their job. The number of people who came to me asking for money is just, it's never been. And then he went on to say, and you know what else? There's never been a time where so many people in my kehila came to me voluntarily and said, Rabbi, I know there are a lot of poor people in the community. Here's thousands of dollars to give out to tzedakah on their own. Zelu umazeh. Chatzdei Hashem azkir. Tehilos Hashem. Ke'al kol asher gimolanu Hashem. Hashem has been so good to us. V'rav tov leves Yisrael asher gimolav. Don't forget the chesed. The pasuk here tells us that this year is a shnas in pasuk dalid. Ki yom nokom belibi ushnas geulai bo'o. In the last Shabbos of the year, the Navi tells us it's a year of geula that is coming. This is going to be the year. A shnas Geula ba'a. Rabbeisai, we should be zoicha to a year of ksiva v'chasima toy v'gugim ben shiara, a year of brocha, nachas, hatzlocha, excellent health, refuah, success, and every good thing you can possibly want for yourself, for your family, for your friends, and for Klal Yisrael. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Be well.
The Minig Yisrael Torah just wanted to point out, if you're in Tavkuf Pei Hei, he says that the reason that you sit down, I mean, it's a big machlokas, he has a whole long tshuva on it.